Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
This morning's reading comes from John chapter 3, verses 16 to 21, and can be found on page 1651 in the Red Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God.
This morning I've got a confession to make. I really like bad Christian movies. You know, the corny ones, the ones that other people don't really like to watch because they judge them based on the quality of the acting or the plot line, which has lots of holes in it. I love those Christian movies that have lots of holes in them with bad acting because I really enjoy just sitting down and watching a movie and having a good ending with a Christian connection. Doesn't bother me that it's really bad. So the other day I was watching one of these really bad Christian movies, and it wasn't that bad. I don't know if you've seen the God Is Not Dead series. There's God Is Not Dead 1, 2, and 3. He's still not dead. And so I was watching the third one, and there was this moment in the film where the girlfriend of this guy that's lit a church on fire comes and knocks on the door of the pastor. And she says to him, "You never even asked why he threw the brick." And so what had happened was this young guy, he was really angry at Christianity. He was really angry at the church. And so he was wandering back from a party. He was drunk. I'm going to spoil the movie for you. If you see it, you won't... You'll still enjoy it in a dorky kind of Christian way. But so he was walking back from a party drunk, and he saw this sign out the front of the church that said, "All are welcome." And he thought to himself, what a joke. All are not welcome in the church. And his baggage was that his parents divorced when he was younger, and his mum had essentially been rejected by the church and was not a welcome person in the church. And so he's... identification with the Christian community was, well, this is not a community that I want to be a part of because my family was not welcome in this Christian community. So he put this big cross through the sign that said all is welcome, and he threw this brick, and the brick just happened to hit this gas cylinder and light the whole place on fire, and it ended up burning down. And so his girlfriend, he hadn't at this point confessed to it. He was actually caught. But his girlfriend's standing at the pastor's door, and she said, "Well, you didn't even ask why he threw the brick." And so that was the backstory. And she said, "You know what? He hates the church because the church has always been so judgmental, so rejecting, when the church is meant to be this place that accepts people and loves people." And then she went on to say, as cheesy Christian movies always have, this classic line that just reveals truth, and she said, "You know what? My generation is leaving the church in droves because everyone knows what the church is against, but no one knows what the church stands for." And there's a lot of truth in that, isn't there? Everyone knows what the church is against, but no one really knows what the church stands for. We see that in our recent election, everyone knows what the Liberal Party is against. And a lot of people voted against the Liberal Party because they didn't know what it stood for. And in politics, we know what a lot of our politicians are against, but we don't know what they stand for. In the world, the church knows what the world knows what the church stands against, but in a lot of the world don't know what the church actually stands for. And when we think about what the church thinks about God, what the world thinks about God and the church, they think God's not interested. God's written really not that interested in them and their lives. They think that God is judgmental because they see that the Christians are judgmental. They think that, well, the church wouldn't ever accept me. The church wouldn't love me. The church wouldn't welcome me. And so that's, I mean, the feedback I've sort of had when I've talked to different people and invited them along. Oh, you should come to church. Oh, no, you wouldn't want someone like me in church. No, someone like me, I really wouldn't fit into church. I'm not that kind of person. I think to myself, well, no, you're more than welcome. I know the gospel. I know the good news that all are welcome, all are invited. But then I think, oh, well, if you really get down to it, do we operate in a way that all are welcome? Do we act in a way that all are welcome? I find it really difficult to love people that are different from me. So the fruit of that is, are all really welcome? Or maybe we sort of align ourselves with judgment, but that's an alignment that doesn't really fit with Jesus. In this passage for today, and if you've got a Bible on your phone or with you physically, I would love you to open up your Bible to John 3:16. We know this. It's a really familiar passage, but it's got fresh truth for us to really receive. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If God didn't send his Son to condemn the world, why do we? If God didn't send his Son to judge the world, but to save the world, why do we judge the world? And I think what happens is we fear difference. So the people outside are fearing that they won't be accepted, and we fear those that are different. But for all of us, we're on this journey towards being more and more like Jesus, and maybe we're a few steps down the road, but God's calling us to reach out to the people that are far further down the road without condemnation, but with love. For someone that doesn't know Jesus, this passage speaks of the reality they live in, and it says this. So light's come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into light for the fear that their deeds will be exposed. So what it's saying is people that don't know Jesus are fully aware of the things that probably get in the way between them and God. People that don't come to church are fully aware of what they do that gets between them and God. And the role of light is to shine on darkness, but it pushes back darkness. And we, when people come in and they're different, people are scared that we're going to expose their deeds. And so what stops people from coming to church a lot of the time? It's fear. It's a fear of, will people know what I've done? Will people judge me based on what I've done? Will people accept me? Will God accept me? Does God love me? Is God interested in me? Is God going to accept me? And so there's these questions and these fears that sit there. But then it goes on, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what they've done has been done in the sight of God. And so whether, as Christians, we recognize that God sees all, he knows all, he is aware of everything that we've done, everything that we've thought, and we know this message of love that he welcomes us in and he accepts us. And we are called as Christians to represent this message to the world, that a God so loved the world that he sent his only Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but would have eternal life. And it continues to say, For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. So why do we? Why do we? I do a search of the internet, and when I look up a key Christian leader that has what we would call Christian celebrity status, you can't get past the first five hits before you see someone condemning them, criticizing them, tearing them apart. Now, you wonder why the world thinks the Christian community is judgmental. We're so judgmental. Like, we're really judgmental. If we were judgmental of the world, we're even more so judgmental of other Christians. But that doesn't look like there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. That doesn't look like Jesus, how he came into the world to save the world. It seems like when you look at Christians and the way they operate, and it's transparent because of the online world, but not at a whole level, it seems that the Christians are concerned about their boundaries more than extending their boundaries. We are concerned more about who's in and who's out than inviting more people in. But I can't stop coming back to this verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. So the question for us is, how do we live a life that represents the salvation that's found in God and that there is actually no condemnation? How do we invite people in such a way that they realize that actually this is a place where they could belong? This is a place where they will find home and acceptance. And I think, to be honest, it starts with the way that we love each other. I've seen many a time someone and sit by themselves in church and no one go and sit with them. Many a time I've seen people that will talk to their people and not go and talk to those who don't fit within their people. Now, this isn't a word against you when you do that. It's an invitation, actually. If we love and want to extend the boundary of the kingdom, we need to reach out to those who are not just easy to love because we've always loved them. We need to reach out to all people and extend that invitation to those who don't know Jesus by representing his love. If you've got your Bible, I'd love you to open it to Matthew 25, and we're just going to read through a little bit of Matthew 25. So you're opening to Matthew 25. I haven't got a page number. Looking at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on the right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me in. I needed clothes and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you didn't look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or needing clothes, or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So Matthew is written to believers. It's a mainly Jewish audience. And it's written to Jewish people who think that they're in the kingdom. And Jesus is saying, well, if you're in the kingdom, there's a kind of life that you need to live in order to represent your being part of the kingdom. When I see this picture, I see this picture of the hospitality of the kingdom, this hospitality that's a willingness to welcome those who do not fit in, those who are sick and hungry, those who are in prison and needing visiting, those who are thirsty and needing a drink. And it has this picture of the righteous, those ones that are doing all right, that have got their lives together enough. And when I think of the picture of the righteous, and I think, well, we're all on this journey of being made righteous. Our righteousness is bought for us in Christ, but we're all on this journey. It's just that there's people in this world that are a lot further back. We're all being shaped to be like Jesus, and we'll all eventually be in his image. And many of us, for reason only, based on our circumstance of growing up, have found ourselves 50, 100, 200 steps down the road than someone that is in prison and needing visiting, sick, because they're not looked after well, without clothes, because they don't have the wealth to clothe them. And Jesus is saying, well, I'm with them. When you serve them, you're serving me. And it's interesting, when we're serving them, we're serving Jesus, and we're also representing Jesus to them. And so if we want to see God's kingdom grow here at Deep Creek, if we want to see the kingdom grow through us, are we welcoming, are we offering the hospitality of the kingdom to the least of these? Are we reaching out to those who might not find themselves welcome because they've got the same clothes and they wear the same clothes every week? Are we extending the hospitality where we open our homes and we share our food, where we visit those who are lonely? And in our area, one of the biggest issues, rising issues, is single dwellings and loneliness. Are we visiting those? Do people know that actually all are welcome in the kingdom? Do people know that actually God is interested in them? Do people know that God sent his son Jesus because he's interested in them? That God, at just the right time, sent his son Jesus to be born of a woman as a vulnerable child in order that the world, the whole world, may come to faith and bow their knee at this son. Do they know about that? Have they received the invitation? Have they witnessed the humility and the vulnerability of the people of God before they've even met the Son? So I wonder, with the people that you know in your family, the people that you know in your workplace, do they know you as someone that doesn't come to condemn but to love and to save? Do they know you as someone that speaks words of love and life? Do they recognize the message of Christianity as a message that brings light into dark places and pushes back darkness? So I'd like to pray for us, and I'd like to invite us to just think about the people that we know that don't yet know Jesus, and think about our representation of Jesus to them. And so, Lord, we're well aware that we don't perfectly represent you. But Lord, sometimes we're a little bit too comfortable in our imperfection. Sometimes we're a little bit too comfortable and we let judgment rise up. We ask, Lord, that you forgive us for where we've judged those that are different from us. We ask that you forgive us for where we've not represented you well, Jesus, by bringing condemnation instead of love and salvation. We pray, Lord, that you would renew our hearts, Lord. We thank you that in Jesus all are welcome. All people of every tongue, every language, every tribe, every background. Thank you that all are welcome, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would lay that on our hearts. Renew our hearts in such a way that we become that message through our actions, through our words, through our relationships. May people experience the welcome of the King and the hospitality of the kingdom that we show. Our Lord, if we're here and we're wondering whether we fit in, whether we're welcome, we all thank you that you have made a way for all of us to fit in. We thank you that there is no condemnation for those in Jesus. I thank you that your love is for all and that you've shown your love by sending your one and only Son to die for us, to live for us, to be raised to life for us. Jesus, we know that you've called us as a church to continue your mission in the world. Open our eyes to see this world the way that you see it. Place on our hearts those who are around us that you're calling us to love and extend an invitation to, Lord. Even as we think of tonight, Lord, we ask, is anyone that you would like us to invite, Lord, that we've maybe thought, I don't know if they'd fit in or I don't know if they'd come? Or Lord, please fill us with your perfect love. That we would not fear rejection as we put out invitations to people. That we would have in our minds and our hearts, Lord, the eternal message that we speak and the gravity that carries. So in love, Lord, we ask that you shift us as a people to love the way that you love, to live the way that you lived, and to love everyone, knowing that as we love them, you are there with us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite the band to come up. Let me encourage you as you put those invitations out to people, as you invite them to know Jesus, you're going to get rejected, but it's not because they're rejecting you. It's because they're fearful of coming into the light and knowing God. It's because they're fearful that they may not be loved, that their deeds may be exposed, that people may know who they really are, but God already knows who they are and loves them and is pursuing them in the same way that he does with us. So... going to hand over to Shannon and we're going to see.